The King James Version of the Bible was written in 1611 and is still considered today the most beautiful version of all, with its faultless prose and traditional style. Here is the story of the birth of Jesus from the Gospel according to St. Luke. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while he was there, the days were accomplished that she would be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came down, and glory shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. We shall continue with the reading of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Oh, jingle bell. Jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
dashing through the snow with a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the field we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Someone had hinted there wasn't any Santa Claus. Well, if there wasn't a Santa Claus, then who brought the presents? Who filled the stockings and decorated the Christmas trees with bright tinsley bells and shining lights? These questions had been bothering Doodles for many weeks, and now here it was Christmas Eve, and he still didn't know the answer. Doodles had gone with his nurse to the store for some late Christmas shopping, and now they were walking home through the busy streets. A light snow was falling, and people were hurrying along, their arms filled with packages.
Annie, I've been wondering, can you tell me, is there a Santa Claus?
Of course, Doodles. Now hurry along. I've got a lot to do in the kitchen when we get home.
But, Nanny, how do you know there's a Santa Claus?
Well, just because. Well, there just is. Oh, don't ask so many questions. It's late.
Well, one of the kids in school said there wasn't. And he said it was all just make-believe. He's older than me, so I guess he knows.
Heavens, child, how you go on. Of course there's a Santa Claus. I tell you what, why don't you ask your father? He's a writer. He knows everything.
That's just what I'll do, Nanny, as soon as we get home.
Here now, just hold these packages while I open the door. There. My, it's nice and warm in the house. Here, give me the packages, Doodles. Mind you hang up your coat. I've got to hurry down to the kitchen.
Nanny, wait. Help me with this button.
Please?
Please. Thanks, Nanny. I'm going to ask Daddy right away. I guess he's in his study writing. I'll go and see.
Come in.
I've been thinking, Daddy.
You don't say, old son. Climb up on my knee and tell me.
Daddy, who was Santa Claus when he was young? He's terribly old now, but he must have been little as me once.
Yes, I guess he was.
Who taught him to like reindeer and to come down chimneys and leave presents? Was he the first to do things like that? Or did he have a mummy and daddy who did them first?
Well, now, just let me fill my pipe first.
Let me light the match, Daddy.
Thanks, Doodles. Now, let's see. Well, son, I hate to disappoint you, but you know what? I don't know the answer to a single one of your questions. I ought to know the answers. I have no excuse. Perhaps with your help, I can educate myself. Do you see all those books?
On that shelf?
Yes, the tall ones at the bottom there. They are books of reference. That means they can answer anything.
Anything?
Well, just about. Now, for instance, suppose you want to know all about the potato. Well, you'd simply turn to the word potato, and there would be everything that is known about the potato. I say, Doodles, let's make a game of it and go on a hunt.
Well, what do we hunt for?
Why, Santa Claus, of course, or we may find out more about him under his other name of Saint Nicholas. Now let's try the encyclopedia.
So Doodles and his father got out the big books from the bottom shelf and first tried the encyclopedia. But they didn't find what they wanted, so they tried other reference books. As soon as they'd hit on what they thought they wanted, it referred them to another volume. Having looked up Santa Claus, they were at once informed that they ought to have looked up St. Nicholas. Then they tried Christmas and read a lot about the Yule log, and then they came across the name Befana. According to the book, Befana was a fairy. The three wise men, on their journey to Bethlehem, had passed by her cottage. She was too busy or too disagreeable to look out of her window. She thought to see them when they came back. But they didn't come back on account of Herod. Her punishment was to gaze in vain from her window for them always. But that wasn't all. She had a second punishment. On the anniversary of the night when she'd been too busy to see the wise men pass, she was ordered to fill children's stockings. But the angel who ordered her punishment was careless. What he'd meant was that she must fill children's stockings with presents. He didn't say presents, so to be spiteful, she filled the stockings with ashes.
Now, should we look up stockings, Daddy? Maybe then we'll find the rest of the story there.
No, I'm afraid not, Doodles. The trouble with the fellows who write all this learned stuff is that they aren't poets. If we're going to discover the truth about when Santa Claus was young, we'll have to make it up.
Let me sit on your lap again, Daddy.
Comfortable there. Now? Don't wiggle so.
Are we poets, Daddy?
You bet. At least you are. All children are poets. They're much wiser than those encyclopedia fellows. We believe in Santa Claus, you and I, Doodles. They don't. They were like Fafana. She could have ridden to Bethlehem with the wise men, only she was too busy to have faith.
Can't one be busy if one has faith?
Well, being busy usually kills faith. I've been too busy lately, and so I don't have as much faith as you do. That's why I'm asking you to help. I'm sure you can tell me about Santa when he was a boy. Here, let me stir the fire a minute and put on a new log. Yeah, that's better. Now, get up on my lap again and you tell me the story. Well, Doodles, I'm waiting.
Daddy?
Yes?
I don't know where to start.
Now, let's see. Why don't you start with Bafana? She must have lived in a forest so dark that she hardly ever saw the sun. A high road ran through the forest, and long at the camels plodded with their tinkling bells. You see, even I know that.
I know even more, Daddy. Bufana was like you. When she was writing a story, she was cross.
Is that so? Well, thanks for your frankness.
Yes, that's so. And if Bufana wasn't finishing a story, she was in a hurry to begin another one.
What sort of stories did she write, Doodles?
Don't exactly know. Oh, yes, I do. She was a writer of fairy stories. She lived in a dark forest because she simply had to be quiet, same as you. And she never could find time to do her housework, so she was very glad one morning when she opened the door and saw Santa on her step.
What on earth was he doing there?
He wasn't doing nothing. He'd been left. Someone passing with the camels had dropped him. He was as tiny as a doll, and he couldn't even talk, and the bottle beside him was empty. Bufana took him in, and she twiddled his toes, and he laughed. And she thought, he's an orphling, and I can keep him. I'll learn him to do my housework.
Teach, Doodles, not learn.
Oh, all right, teach. But not until evening when she was putting him to bed did she learn what he was called. A piece of paper had been pinned to his clothes with Nick written on it. And that's what he was called first. The Santa came after.
Did he have a beard?
Of course not. Nor no hair. He was a baby. Bufana washed his bottles and pushed him through the forest in his carriage. She was sorry for him, but he was an awful bother.
I'm surprised to hear that she was sorry for him at all. Fairy that could be so cruel as to put ashes in children's stockings.
Oh, but listen, Daddy. She wasn't married. She didn't know about children. And she spoiled him and upset his stomach. And she let him stay up late, the way you let me on Christmas Eve. But she did it every night. And she gave him candies before breakfast.
That was extremely foolish. Why did she?
Oh, to keep him quiet so she could write her fairy stories. And as he grew bigger, he learned to talk. She couldn't write when people talked, so to get rid of him, she ordered him to do all the housework, which was hard for a little boy. And he cooked the meals and swept and dusted.
Didn't she ever help him?
Oh, no. She was always writing. Jack and the Beanstalk was one of her stories, and so was Cinderella. Oh, most all of them.
Now, I believe you're inventing this part.
Oh, truth, I'm not. Her fingers was inky. And Nick would call her to come and play, but she'd shake her head. He was most awfully lonely. And when he dusted the cottage, he'd go out and sit by the road and watch the camels pass. And he'd wonder where the camels came from and where they were going, and he'd wish he could go with them. And sometimes he'd wonder if the people that passed with the camels were the people who left him on Bafana's doorstep. He was about as big as me, when one day, coming awfully fast...
How fast would you say?
Oh, about as fast as when we ride in a taxi. There was three racing camels, each with a man sitting on him. And the men wore crowns and was all dressed up. You know they must be kings. And a great bright star floated just in front of them above the branches of the trees. And the star made the forest very bright. Nick guessed that something wonderful was going to happen.
Naturally.
Well, they pulled up to a stop, and one of them asked Nick,
"Little boy, where is Bethlehem?"
"I don't know, sir. Is that where you're going?"
"Yes, for in Bethlehem today a king is born. We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him."
"Well, if you'll just wait, I'll go and ask my Aunt Bufana. She'll know." "Aunt Bufana, open the door. I want to ask you something." "Please, Aunt Bufana, there's some men out here, and they want to know the way to Bethlehem. Which way is it?"
"Go away, I'm busy."
"But they're in an awful hurry. They're racing camels, and they're wearing crowns. Oh, it's important. Please help them."
"No, no. No, go away and don't bother me. I have no time."
"So I suppose the wise men had to ride away and find Bethlehem as best they could for themselves."
"Yes, and that night at supper, Bufana said to Nick that she thought he was fibbing because kings don't wear crowns when they ride candles. She didn't want to believe him that he was telling the truth, so she spanked him. And the next day she couldn't write fairy tales because she was worrying that she'd missed something. And she'd never seen three kings all together."
"But you're forgetting something, Doodles. Here, put your head on my shoulder. Now you're forgetting that one of the kings told Nick why they were in such a hurry to reach Bethlehem. A baby was born who would be king of all the world. When he grew up, he would be king, especially of children. He would take them in his arms and play with them. Most of this, he said to Bufana. The more Nick talked about the wise men, the more sorry she was that she hadn't taken time off to see them.
She hoped they'd be coming back along the road, and she'd see them then."
"But you know, Doodles, they didn't take account of Herod. The wise men were warned in a dream that Herod was looking for the Christ child to kill him because Herod didn't want there to be any other king but himself. The wise men went back to the east secretly by a different road."
"But Bufana didn't know that they'd been warned, so every day she sat by her study window watching for them. And she hid behind the curtain so that Nick couldn't see her. And he'd think she was writing fairy stories. Oh, and Daddy, I forgot to tell you. She kept the dinner table set for five instead of two. You see why, don't you?"
"So as to be ready to invite the three kings to eat a meal with her when they came by. Do you know, that's very interesting, because they still do that in Russia. The people bake a king's cake and put it outside the door on Christmas Eve to let the three kings know they're welcome."
"Well, Bufana did the same, and she called it a king's cake, too. But, Daddy, don't you think you could tell a little of the story now?"
"Why, yes, of course. But now let's see. As the news began to spread about the wonder child that had been born in Bethlehem, she felt sorrier and sorrier. One day when she was watching the road, she saw a man who looked like a man yet wasn't, approaching through the forest. She saw him stop little Nick and pat his head. The next moment, he was tapping at her cottage."
"He wore wings, didn't he, Daddy? Because he was an angel?"
"He may have."
"Well, if he wore wings, Daddy, even though his coat was over them, they'd be humpy."
I expect they were, but humps aren't important. The important thing is that he'd been sent to punish her. Of course, you and I know what the angel told her. She must watch forever for the wise men, and that once a year she must fill the children's stockings."
"But why had she been crying, Daddy?"
"Because as long as she lived, there never had been time to write any more fairy stories. Don't forget, Doodles, that till now she'd been quite a well-known story writer. Little Nick didn't know why she'd been crying, and he didn't dare to ask. The first hint he got was next morning. Having swept out the fireplace, he was throwing away the ashes. 'Don't do that,' she snapped. 'Take them back. We're going to save them.' Overnight, she'd been thinking hard about what to fill the children's stockings with. She had decided on ashes. She grew crankier and crankier. And because of her punishment, she grew to hate children. Little Nick was the child that came handiest. She was perfectly horrid to him.
And as it came near Christmas, she grew nervouser and nervouser. She'd been counting her ashes, and she was sure there weren't enough to fill all the stockings. So what did she do? She thought of soot. There wasn't much difference between soot and ashes. And she made poor Nick climb up her chimney and shake the soot down."
But Doodles, that doesn't sound sensible.
But, Daddy, don't you see? Bufana made him. That's how he learned the habit. When he was little, he climbed up chimneys, and now that he's old, he climbs down them.
Oh, I understand now.
When the first Christmas Eve came around, a year after the wise men had passed, Nick was awful tired. All day he'd been tying up ashes in sacks. And about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Bufana surprised him. She said that she'd be gone for the whole night and that he must hang up his stocking. And she told him that the next morning, if he looked in it, he'd find something. So he went to bed early and closed his eyes tight. And he was so excited, he wanted morning to come quicker. And he thought his Aunt Bufana had gone to town to buy him a wonderful present.
And instead, when he awoke and looked in his stockings, Doodles, we know what he found. It was cruel of her.
And there she was back for breakfast as though nothing had happened, Daddy, and all the sacks was disappeared.
How did she carry them?
Oh, by magic. She was a fairy. And every Christmas after that, she always did the same. Nick was always hoping that instead of ashes, he'd find a present.
Now, Doodles, I don't for the life of me see how our story goes on.
Oh, yes, Daddy. You see, Nick grew up and finally went to heaven. But he wasn't happy there. Because why? Well, because he kept on thinking of how Bufana was still filling children's stockings with ashes. So he went to God, and he told him how miserable he'd been every Christmas morning when he'd been little. And he said, 'Tisn't right to be miserable Christmas morning. Children will always be miserable as long as they find ashes. And if no one else wants to do it, I'm going to give them presents.'
And I'm sure that God thought that was a wonderful idea. In order that Nick, he was Saint Nicholas now, might get to all the stockings before Bufana filled them with ashes, he lent him the three wise men's camels.
But, Daddy, he uses reindeer.
By Jove, Doodles, you're right.
But I guess, Daddy, he used camels just at first. Oh, but camels weren't so good on snow.
Excuse me for interrupting you, but what you're saying is a fact. Russian children still believe that Christmas presents are brought on camels, and they also believe that the three wise men ride out from the east every Christmas Eve, just as they did when they were looking for the Christ child.
Well, Santa Claus doesn't deliver presents that way any longer. Camels wasn't a good idea. One Christmas up in Alaska, he got stuck. Never again, he said, and he changed to reindeer.
I think he was very wise. A camel's such a big animal to go prancing on roofs. So now, Doodles, we know all about Santa when he was a boy and how he got the idea of giving children presents on Christmas.
But, Daddy, somebody said there wasn't no Santa Claus. They did, Daddy.
But there is, Daddy. There is, Doodles. Of course there is.
Then, Daddy, let's prove it. Tomorrow, let's prove it. Promise?
You know a way to prove it, Doodles. I promise.
Doodles, Doodles, your bath is ready. Come along now.
Oh, don't come in, Nanny. Wait a minute, please.
That's right, Nanny. Just give us one more minute, and then I'll send Doodles up to bed. Son, how can we prove it?
It's been snowing, Daddy. Tomorrow, let's go up on the roof. And if Santa truly is, we'll find marks of reindeer up there.
Why, so we will. Now run off to bed, and tomorrow we'll look. Good night and pleasant dreams. Here, give Daddy a big kiss. And run along to Nanny.
Good night, Daddy.
So, next morning after breakfast, Christmas morning, Father and Son climbed the stairs to the attic, placed a ladder against the trapdoor that led to the roof, and climbed up. They looked out. There was not a sign of a reindeer's hoof or a sleigh runner.
Daddy, I don't see any hoof marks. Do you?
No, Doodles, I'm afraid I don't.
Not even a teeny tiny. Oh, but he has been here because he left presents. Oh, how silly of us. A lot of new snow has fallen, and the hoof marks will be all covered up by now.
By Jove, you're right. I looked down there in the street. See, there aren't even any automobile tracks left from last night. Come on, let's close this trap door and go get downstairs again. That new snow has fooled us. But I tell you what, if you're still a poet, we'll try again next Christmas.
Yes, Daddy, that's what we'll do. Next year we'll try again to prove it. Come on.
Three kings of Orient are bearing gifts we travel so far. Field and fountain, moor and mountain following us.
This Christmas, let us follow along with the three wise men and journey to the cradle of the Prince of Peace. And there, renew our willingness to work for peace on earth, goodwill toward all men.